Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 15, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I really tried to pray and think a lot about what the Lord would have us to preach on this morning, the first Sunday of the new year, and I believe the Lord would have us to preach out of Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Give you just a moment to turn there. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1, you'll recognize it. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And then look down in verse number 10. We'll read that verse. "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today. And Lord, we have stood to preach many, many times. And after all these years, still feel nervous from time to time and definitely in need of your help. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts today. I pray that you would make it easy. Lord, we realize that what we do and if we do it in the flesh, there's no good to it whatsoever. I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit of God that you would move upon our hearts, that you would give great liberty to preach thy word, that you would be with, Lord, give us hearing ears and open hearts. Help us as a church, help us as individuals. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to those that are lost. Use the message for your honor, for your glory. I pray you'd move and work here today. Let there just be liberty from the Lord. I pray you'd bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder in any way whatsoever. We thank you for letting us be here today and all the blessings. And there's a lot of things we're praying about together as a church. We just come one more time asking you'd move and work in our special objects that's been mentioned already here today. Lord, we ask for your help right now. Ask it in Jesus' name and amen. So read verse number 7 one more time. The Bible said there, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And if I were to begin by talking today about the Great Commission, most of you would understand what I'm talking about. When we hear the words Great Commission, we automatically think about such verses as Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, that's called the Great Commission, and I don't know who called it that first of all, but really that's an understatement if you really think about what the Bible is telling us to do. Go ye, that's individual, go ye into all the world, that's a big place, and preach the gospel to every creature, every one of God's creation, every person in every place in the world. The Lord Jesus, that was the last thing he instructed the disciples before he went back to heaven, was to do that very thing. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. There are now 7 billion people in the world. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine 7 billion people, just exactly how many people that is, but it's a lot of people. There's 7 billion people in the world. Missionaries, mission boards tell us that most of them have never had a clear presentation of the gospel. The majority of the people in the world have never heard what you and I are used to hearing on a regular basis. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came to die upon the cross for sinners. He rose again the third day so that you and I could be saved. We are saved by believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the good news that He came, He died, He rose again the third day. A Savior, God came down from heaven. We're used to that. We hear that. We understand that. Most people in the world have never had a clear presentation of the gospel. A lot of people in the world don't even know who Jesus is. If you talk about Jesus Christ, missionaries come. We had a missionary a while back. He was a missionary going to the Middle East. And he talked about there being a billion Muslims in the world. The whole map in that area of the world, from northern Africa all the way over touching China and India, that whole vast region touching 2 continents in the world. A billion people, most of them never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. A billion, that's hard for me to imagine. Missionaries talk about going places where there's 100 million people, or a city where there's 1 million people, or even 500,000 people in a town, something like that. It's just overwhelming when you think about the responsibility given to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The commission, if we really think about what it is telling us to do, it's an overwhelming thing. It's overwhelming because the population is astronomical. I mean, 7 billion people. That's how we're going to do that. The population is astronomical. The price is exceeding. It takes the average missionary 2.5 or 3 years for one gospel preacher to get to a mission field. And then most of the time when they get there, they're outnumbered 1 to, if you went to a big city, 1 to 1 million, 1 to 800,000, something like that. It's just, and the price to go. It takes us so long to get to doing what we're supposed to be doing, going into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature, and then the personnel are so few. And it was that way in the days of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." There was a few then, and now there's more people in the world than there's ever been before. And so if you probably factor that in, there's probably fewer than there's ever been before. The personnel are so few when we really think about the great job that there is to be done. But what I want to preach about today is not the multitudes or the many, but I want to try to preach on the minute. The word minute means a small, small in number. And that's what I want to try to focus on today. Luke chapter number 15 is about one. If you've ever read the whole chapter out, it talks about, in the beginning, it talks about one lost sheep. Then the next parable, beginning in verse number 8 through verse number 10, it talks about one lost coin. Look in verse number 8 what it says. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece," talking about losing one coin, one piece of silver. And then when you get down to verse number 11 through the end of the chapter, it is talking about one lost son. We know Luke chapter 15 as the story about the prodigal son. But there's one sheep, there's one coin, and there's one lost son. And I want to try to preach today on the subject, one sinner. Just one sinner. To think about all in the whole wide world is just overwhelming, but I just want us to think about one sinner today. And that's what the Bible is talking about here in verse number 7 and in verse number 10. It's talking about one sinner. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. We'll try to preach on that. Most of us know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's everybody in the world. That's everybody in all ages in the world. From the days of the Lord Jesus all the way through the end of time as we know it. God so loved the world. We know that. But God deals with us as individuals. God never saves us by lot. God deals with us one by one by one. God dealt with me as an individual. God dealt with you as an individual. And God is still dealing with individuals today, one at a time, one at a time. And you and I have our dealings in this world with people, one at a time, one at a time. So we want to think about that today. First of all, in Luke chapter number 15, there's the picture of one sinner. Now, Luke chapter 15 is two sinners. He was talking to sinners in verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse number 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He was talking to sinners. And then he began to tell parables, three different parables about what it is to be a lost sinner. And there's a picture in Luke chapter number 15 of what a sinner is. First of all, is mentioned a sheep or a lamb. This is mentioned in verses 3 down through verse number 7. But this lamb, and we'll look at it a little bit more as the message goes on. But just to begin this morning, the lamb is a picture of a sinner that is lost and helpless. Of all the animals in the animal kingdom, sheep need a shepherd. More than dogs, more than cats, more than cows out in the field. Bears don't need a shepherd. Deer don't need anybody to look after them. But sheep cannot make it without a shepherd. And the Bible says that we are His sheep and the sheep of His pasture, Psalms 100. And sheep, whether you know it or not, they're sort of dumb. And they're real helpless. And when they get in trouble, they cannot save themselves. They get out and they get lost. And they cannot find their way home. They get out and they get their wool stuck in a thicket or a briar. And they can't get out of it. They get out and they roll over on their back. And they can't roll back over on their stomach. And I mean, they are just helpless among all of God's creatures. They need the most help. But a sheep will get out and it'll get caught in a thicket and all it knows to do is it's in a mess and all it can do is cry and scream and bay for help. And if the shepherd don't come along, it's just doomed. That's what's going to happen to it. If the dogs get in the sheep, if the wolves come along, if the shepherd doesn't come along and rescue them, they are just doomed. They cannot defend and help themselves. They're helpless creatures. There's a lot of people in the world just like that. They are lost. They are in trouble. They are crying out, but they don't know where to turn and they don't know who to go to and they're trying to get some help and trying to get out of the mess that they're in. They don't know where to turn. Somebody's got to come along with the good gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or they are doomed. They're helpless. The world is helpless. Without the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When the Lord Jesus saw the multitudes, it moved upon his heart, and he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost out there in the world. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to help them. Sinners are like a sheep, lost in the world and helpless without somebody comes along and helps them. Then in verses 8 through 10, there's the parable of the lost coin. This woman loses a piece of silver. It has value to her. She sweeps the house. She lights a candle. She searches all the house until she finds that one lost coin. And that is a picture of a sinner that is lost but unconscious of being lost. There's a lot of people in the world, that's exactly how they are. They're lost, but they don't even know they're lost. That coin, a coin is an inanimate object. It is not alive. It does not breathe. It will not grow. It is just there. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and 1, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. God said before the good gospel come along and saved you, you was just like a dead person. That's what that lost coin is a picture of. There's a great many people in the world, they're lost, but they don't know they're lost. They're just as lost as the worst sinner that knows that he's lost and knows that he's in trouble. There's a lot of nice people that are lost. If you say about somebody that they're lost, you're not saying that they're mean. You're not saying that they're a criminal. You're not saying that they're a drunkard. They are just in their natural state. Your natural state is your first birth. You are physically been born, but you've never spiritually been born again. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus was a good fella. Nicodemus was religious. Nicodemus knew the law. Nicodemus lived a good life, a whole lot better than anybody here this morning, I'd say. But Nicodemus was lost and didn't even know it. He come to the Lord Jesus Christ at night. There's a picture there of a lost sinner. They're in dark until they come to the light. And he said, Master, we know. We know there's something special about you. Nobody can do these things you do except God be with him. But the Lord Jesus got right down to the root of the problem. Nicodemus, you're lost. That's when he told him he needed to be born again. Nicodemus didn't even understand what he was talking about. He said, how can a man be born of woman? He had in his mind, how can he get back in the womb? You read over there in John chapter 3. He didn't understand. He was lost and didn't know it, but Jesus wasn't talking about being born physically. He's talking about a spiritual birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There's a lot of people in the world, they are lost. And it's never yet dawned upon them that they're lost, undone, dead in their trespasses and sins. Nice people are lost. Some of the best people I know are lost. Nice, good people. They'd help you. They'd help you move. If anybody will help you move, they're a good person. I'll help do a lot of things, but I won't help nobody move. I hate moving. I've moved so much in my life. I don't want to move no more. I don't want to help nobody move. Oh, I guess I really would if you needed me, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of good people. Buddy, they'd jump right in there, but they're lost. A lot of educated people. Oh, yeah, they know about this and they know about that. And they've got a long list of letters behind their name, but they're still lost and unconscious of it. That's how that coin, that's what that's a picture of. And then there's that son, the prodigal son. We all know about the prodigal son. He grew up in the father's house. He knew about the father's goodness. But when the time come that he got old enough, he said, I want my inheritance. I'm getting out of here. And he went down and began to live what he thought was the good life. And he ended up down there eating along with the hogs in the pig pen. And one day he came to himself and he said, I know exactly where I need to go. There's a lot of people like that. They grew up in church. They know about the goodness of God. They've seen the good hand of the Father upon their life, upon the life of their family. They're lost. They know they're lost. But they go on in rebellion thinking, I'll be all right by myself. But when they really get in trouble, they know what they need to do. I have talked to people, I've witnessed to people before, and they grew up in church, and many people. Yeah, my grandma, she's a good Christian. She prayed for me. My dad was a preacher. My mother went to church, and I've heard all kinds of people testify like that. And I'd say, you need the Lord. And they would say, I know I do. That's that prodigal son. When it come right down to it, he knew where he had to go. He had to get back to the Father's house. And there is a picture of sinners in Luke chapter number 15. The lamb or the sheep, the coin, and the son are all a picture of one sinner. I believe every sinner in the world come under that one of those categories. But second of all, there's the peril of one sinner. Look in verse number 4 what the Bible said. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he, you ought to underline this, if he lose one of them. One sheep gets gone. Doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is, what's that say? Lost. Go after that which is lost until he find it. There's the peril of one sinner, the danger of one sinner. That sheep, that shepherd knows that sheep is in danger. And so time is of the essence. He's got to go get that sheep. That's why he doesn't leave it till the next day. But he goes on the very day that he finds out that he's missing one sheep. Let me tell you this morning, sinners are not going to be all right. They're not going to be all right. Unless somebody rescues them. They're lost just like a sheep. They're in danger just like a sheep. Time is of the essence just like a sheep. They are all on a road with a bridge that is gone out. And they are speeding and not realizing that they are at some point just going to run right off the cliff. That's how they're doing. They think everything's all right. Till there's a car crash. Until there's a sickness, until there's some, they're in danger. Lost people are in the most dangerous predicament of anybody in the world. They are all standing on a ledge that is just about to break off at any moment. And I mean, it's just barely hanging there. And they have no idea whatsoever how much danger they're in. But they, like David said, I read this past week, he told Jonathan, he said, there's but a step between me and death. Saul was trying to kill him. He knew his last day could come at any moment. He said there's just a step between me and death. It's a dangerous predicament to be in. Lost people are in peril. Lost people are in danger. There's a deadly storm forming out there in the ocean somewhere. And it's heading right towards them. And it's a deadly thing. And it's going to kill them. But they have no idea. And they're basking in the sun and going about their business. And they just don't realize how much danger they're in. All lost people are in the same boat with how dangerous it is. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That puts them all in the same boat. And the boat is sinking. It's going down. There's no answer to it whatsoever. Can't save themselves. They're in bad shape. They don't realize how bad a shape that they're in. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, every one of us is going to die." I was studying about Billy Sunday and his life last week, and one of the ways that he usually always fit into his sermons, he started out many times, he said, "I've got nothing to offer but old-fashioned." He said, because man, as smart as he is and all of his technology and everything he's learned, he's not able to stop death, and it's coming to all of us. And he said, "If you're lost, you're old-fashioned lost. If you die, it's old-fashioned death, and you're going to crumble and turn back to the dust." And so he said, "All I've got to offer is old-fashioned salvation. And if you get saved, you'll come the old-fashioned way." And that's by the way of the cross. And he has that's a mark of his ministry. He said, "I got nothing to offer but that. But praise God, that's good enough." Old-fashioned will get the job done. But lost people are in danger, the Bible said in Luke 19, verse number 10, and I like this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." If you're lost today, you may not realize it, but there's somebody hunting for you. Now I have no doubt in my mind the Lord Jesus is still seeking to save that which is lost. But I think many times that we that are saved, we forget about how important that is. But there's still the fact that the lost are in danger. They're in peril, the peril of one sinner. Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Number three, there's the priority of one sinner. Look in verse number 4, what the Bible says. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one?" Boy, isn't that a blessing. Somebody asked me one time, and they was trying to trip me up. They said, "Don't the Bible teach that sheep can be lost?" They believe you could be saved and be lost and be saved and be lost. And they asked me that. "Doesn't the Bible teach that there's such thing as a lost sheep?" I said, "Does the Bible not teach that the shepherd found every sheep he looked for?" Amen. Praise the Lord, he never lost one. But everyone he looked for, he found them. He's not unsuccessful. And I preached a message on that years ago. He's a successful shepherd. But the Bible said if he lose one. Now you and I, we might think 99 out of 100, that's pretty good. We got most of them in. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the house. That other one will find its way back, or it's lost and never be found. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not good enough. He's the one in the parable here. He's the shepherd that's going after that one lost sheep. But he said, "What man of you?" You ought to be that compassionate. If you was a shepherd of sheep, that you would go and look for one that was lost. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost?" The priority of one, the shepherd, leaves the fold. You got to realize that at the end of the day, the shepherd gathers all the sheep into a fold. It's a made up enclosure in the wilderness. They would gather briars and brambles and make a circle there and one door, and they'd get the sheep in, and 98, 99. This is the end of the day. They've already worked. They've already labored. They've already been out there. It's time to come in and have supper. It's time to sit down and relax. And it's time to go to bed in a little while. And that shepherd, 98, 99. No other sheep around. Somebody's got to go. He shuts the door. That's what the Bible said. He left the 99 in the wilderness there safe. And at the time when he'd like to go in and rest and kick his feet up and have a good bowl of supper and sit down on his bed or tent or whatever they had there as they were watching the sheep. Here the shepherd, it's important enough to him to extend his day to head back out, and nighttime's coming. The priority of one. You and I'd leave one out there to fend for themselves, but the Lord Jesus is going to go after one. What? How many does there have to be for the Lord to go after? Just one. Note in verse number 4 what the Bible says. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave? You ought to underline that. Leave the 99 in the wilderness, and look what it says, and go after. Go after. I wonder if it could be said of us that we are going after sinners. Acts chapter number 8. The Spirit of God speaks to Philip. He's having a great revival up there in Samaria. And the Spirit of God tells him to go down into the desert. Was there a million people down there? Was there 1,000 people down there in the desert that needed the Lord? Was there 100 people down there? No. Philip's going along in the wilderness, in the desert. And I'd say he went a long ways and didn't see nobody. And finally he comes upon maybe a little caravan. Maybe there's more than the Ethiopian there. The Bible does not say. It's odd for somebody to travel by themselves. But here was an Ethiopian eunuch. Here's a black man. He's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, and the Spirit of God said, go, join yourself to that chair. Go up there and talk to that man. And there's one man down there in the desert. Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I? Except some man guide me. And he went up into the chariot and preached Jesus unto him. One man needed to hear the gospel. God sent his man down there. God sent Philip to preach one message to one person. And he baptized him after he got saved. And he went on his way rejoicing. The priority of one. I'm talking about one. The Lord Jesus is interested in one person. One person is a priority to him. Are we going after people? Are we content to hang back with the 99? I believe we're content sometimes to stay back with the 99. See, the Lord's priority is this, that one sheep. Those 99 are all right. But that one is in imminent danger. We've got the whole thing turned around. We're interested in the 99 that are all safe. And I'm not throwing off. I'm not being mean. I just believe this is the way it is in your average church. We're all concerned about people that are safe. And then we say, and oh yeah, pray for the lost. The Lord said, go to the lost. The 99's all right. I know we're sick and I know we're got all kinds of troubles, and you know I'm not saying not to care one for another, because we are. But the most dangerous people, or the people in the world that are in the most danger, are the ones that are lost. If they die without Christ, they die and go to hell. The shepherd left the 99 and he went after the one. I got to thinking, what got me thinking about preaching on this, I just got to thinking this past week, I wonder how many Christians will die and go to heaven and never win one person to the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about winning the multitudes. I'm not talking about going to the Philippines and winning 100 people over there. I'm just talking about just winning one person over the course of our lifetime. One sinner, one lost person. D.L. Moody was preaching in a meeting, and there was a lady, she'd come to all the preaching, she supported the meeting, and she was there faithful, and he counted her as one of the workers, and a lost lady come down to the altar, and she was seeking the Lord, and Mr. Moody asked her, he said, whatever her name was, he said, would you come and pray and show this lady how to be saved? And the lady sat there with her Bible on her lap, and she said, I don't know how. And he said, "Oh, the starless crowns in glory. Could you even lead a person to the Lord that wanted to be saved? Could you show them the Romans Road? Could you explain John 3:16? I wonder how many Christians, they leave this world and they've never won one person to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got to thinking about this, what would happen at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church if in the year 2015, if we collectively as the people of God, individually, if we all just got one sinner upon our heart and upon our mind, just tried to win one. It's overwhelming to think about in Toronto, there's a huge population, all the nations, I was just reading the missionary letter. They had a meeting and they had something like 34 nations in one service represented. And the missionary brother called, we support, he said, you can reach the whole world from Toronto. It's hard for me to imagine. But now I can get my mind around, there's a sinner I know and I'd sure like him to get saved. I'm being very specific in my mind right now, thinking about one person that I know in 2015. I would like to see God save them. I've prayed and I've prayed and tried to witness to them. Boy, I'd like to see God save them. I mean, you talk about a good year. And what if all of us just got one sinner upon our heart? One person. Now, the shepherd knew this sheep. He knew that one sheep that was supposed to be there that wasn't. And I guarantee this morning that every one of us could think about somebody, they really ought to be saved. There is no excuse whatsoever. And if we begin to go after just all of us, one, just one sinner, the priority of one was enough for the Lord to leave the comfort of the camp and to go back out in the wilderness and try to find that one sheep. Priority. Number four, there's the possibility of one sinner. Look at verse number four. The last four words, look what he said. Until he find it. How long did he stay out? Well, evidently until he found it. Until he find it. Look at verse five, what the Bible says. And when he hath found it. Boy, I like that. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. What a blessing that is. Psalms 126, verse 6, the Bible said, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, that's the word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's a promise in the word of God. If we go with tears, if we go with the word of God, that we will reap. He said, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, is what the Bible said. Look in verse number 6, what the Bible says. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Talking about the possibility of one sinner. Look in verse number 9, this woman that lost the coin. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Look down verse 22, what the Bible says. This is the prodigal son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. He's found. And they begin to be merry. You know what I believe the possibility of one sinner could do for us? Could bring about a revival in our midst. That's what happened right there. Boy, that shepherd come home dancing, rejoicing. He got everybody together. I found him. I found that sheep. Man, looked all night long. Went through the swamp. Got briar scratches all over my face. Lost my hat. But hey, thank God I found my sheep. You ought to be as excited about it as I am. And that woman said, oh, I needed that coin. I looked, I searched, I lit a candle. And I found it, and I'm so happy I can't stand it. And boy, that daddy, he was beside himself. He said, what are we going to do? We're going to throw a shindig. Man, he's been gone. I prayed for him. I've laid awake at night over that boy, and he's been gone and gone. But he come back home. We're going to be real happy about that. We're going to rejoice. Well, I thought revival was for the church. It is. But every revival I've ever read about begins with people being burdened over the state of the church and burdened over the state of lost souls. And then when that harvest begins to come in, it just does something for the people of God that they begin to rejoice and be happy over what God's doing. There's a possibility of one sinner. And then last of all this morning, look in verse number 7. There's the prompting. The prompting of one sinner. Now this is an unusual verse of Scripture, verse number 7. Because it gives us a little insight on something that we don't normally know anything about. Do you ever wonder what they do in heaven? Look what Jesus said in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What goes on in heaven? Heaven's a real place. Heaven is just as real and material today. I promise you, they are not floating around on clouds, playing harps, naked little babies. Little wings. That stuff you see in commercials. Heaven's a real place. It's solid. There's material there. There's thrones. There's streets. It is a real place. There's reunions going on in heaven all the time. Paul said, then shall I be known even as also I am known. We're going to know each other in heaven. The Bible said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. There's reunions going on all the time. People knows each other. But what do they do? I promise you, they're not in heaven this morning. They are not up there all excited and gathering together saying, boy, the Cowboys are going to play this afternoon. I hope they win, and when one of them fellas gets a touchdown and does this pointing up, I suppose they're acknowledging God in doing that. I don't believe there's no angels goes, woohoo! Did you see that boy run that ball? Man, wasn't that good? I promise you there's no angels following fantasy football or fantasy baseball or any of the rest of the stuff. The angels of God are intensely interested in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're interested in redemption by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter 1:12 said the angels desire to look into that. But that's what they're interested in. They are more interested in what's going on in church this morning as the gospel is being preached than what's going on up in Washington, D.C., or what Fox News or CNN's talking about. They're interested in sinners. They're interested in people. They're interested in the gospel. The angels do not understand it, because when the angels fell, part of them, there was no redemption provided whatsoever. But when man fell, God came on the scene. And it didn't take a long time either. The that God came walking in the garden, and He had already provided that there would be a remedy for this awful situation of the fall of man. He found Adam and Eve there naked in the garden, and He slew animals, and He made them coats. And there was blood that was shed that pointed to Calvary that wouldn't happen for thousands of years. But God said there's going to be a battle. There's going to be enmity between the seed of the woman and your seed, old devil. And we're going to win. We're going to win. That's Calvary. That's the Lord Jesus. The angels don't understand all that, but let me tell you this morning, when one sinner repents up in heaven, there's a shouting spell goes on. They don't understand it, but they rejoice in it. And I'm sure that they are perplexed that we're not more interested in it. How can them humans, after all God's done for them, not care no more about lost sinners than every one of them was in the same boat? But them humans are funny creatures. They get saved by the grace of God, and then they look down their nose at somebody that's not. But they's in the same boat. They's headed to the same hell. And why don't they want to tell one another? Because they live in a mess. Angels live in heaven. It's great. It's wonderful. It's perfect. We live in a mess, and we just waller in it, do very little. We try to get people to vote for somebody else. That ain't going to change a thing. If we get people saved by the grace of God, that'd change something. Boy, I've had good liberty this morning. I thank the Lord for it. But that shepherd knew that sheep. And you know some sheep that needs to get in. And if you and I don't go after them, who's going to? I got to preach about a lot of things this year. Read your Bible through. Pray more. Have more faith. All that's wonderful and all that's good. But I believe if we just get consumed, all of us, with one sinner, what would the Lord do this year? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I appreciate